Welcome to this week's episode of Real Estate Served on the Rocks. On this week's episode, the guys bring in Scotty B., the owner of Trinity Cigar Company, a mobile cigar lounge, in order to give you an in-depth look on what you need to create a smoking lounge in your own home, all while reviewing Old Elk Cigar Cut Cask Finish Straight Bourbon Whiskey. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Real Estate Served on the Rocks, sponsored by Living in Colorado, The Mile High Perspective on YouTube, Fathom Realty, and Keller Williams Downtown. We are here at our beautiful sponsor's location at the Rouge Wine and Bourbon Bistro here in Greenwood Village, Colorado, where we just got all the amazing opportunities.
We do have some. Right? Some would say we were blessed.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah.
And guys, on that note, you know, the reason that we say we're blessed by the Rouge is not only do they give us phenomenal bourbon, but as you could see with our Balcones episode, they give us contacts with amazing business owners around Colorado. And today we have an awesome opportunity for an episode, if you ask me. But again,
I mean, if you're a whiskey or bourbon drinker,
it goes hand in hand.
More often than not, you drink a little drink.
Ooh, I like it.
Right?
But as always, guys,
at church.
My name is Charlie Sardelli, and I'm here with
Jameson Amoros.
And Oscar couldn't be with us today. He has some engagements downtown
that he has to take care of. He is so mad that he's not here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He is so mad. Absolutely. Well, if you guys are watching the video version, you can see we do have a guest with us today. And today's guest, and Steve, I'm
Scott.
It's ADHD. Scott, can you go ahead and introduce yourself for me and tell the listeners where you're at, why you're here, what we're doing.
All right. Well, I am Scott Braband. I'm with Trinity Cigar Company, Mobile Cigar Lounge, based here in Colorado. Do private rentals, business events. That's actually where I met you gentlemen, was I did an event with Remy Quantreau here at the Rouge. Wonderful event. Actually, it was my first time being here. This is such a killer spot.
Right? Dude, yeah,
it's killer. Awesome. I mean, it's awesome. I'm past that point of like the loud club, you know, bar scene. I'm like, I walked in and I was
sophistication,
like,
right?
This is my vibe. Yes. I'm like a good bar. Yep. I'm like good selections. I can actually have a conversation without having to yell over the music or other people.
I feel like I've been past that vibe for like since I was like 17.
Oh, I know. It's like I went through the stage and had my fun, but now it's like I just want to have a few drinks and enjoy myself and relax. I'm like, the only thing that would make it better if there was indoor smoking.
I know, right? Right? And
the thing, there's only two spots in Colorado. You might know this.
There's a few.
There's a couple spots that still allow it. We used to. Because you've been, are you from Colorado native?
No. Okay. I always say I got here as fast as I could.
There you
go.
So
I've been here for going on 20 years.
Okay, so there was a spot over by Park Meadows.
Yes, Robusto Room.
The Robusto Room.
Yes, yes.
And that used to be our spot when I was back in college. So like,
yes,
2009.
I know both the owners really well.
And we used to go there, and it was one of the only places, at least in South Denver, that allowed indoor smoking. So you go to the bar side. And you can get your drinks. They made really good cocktails. They had a DJ, all that kind of stuff. And it's small like this.
Yeah.
But then the other side, they had a glass-encased humidor room that you could go in.
Yeah.
And you could smoke cigars.
Yeah.
And then it's not there anymore. They closed that down
in COVID. That was 2020.
Yeah, 2020.
They closed up shop.
Real sad.
So. I'm a big fan of the Churchill Bar.
Oh, yeah. Churchill's downtown at the Brown Palace. Yep. Oh, beautiful spot. Amazing. They redid everything in there, cleaned it up, and really updated everything. It's a gorgeous spot.
Yeah. I feel like the we were talking about just kind of the vibe of this place, right? The Wine and Bourbon Bistro. When you hear bistro, there's a certain connotation to it. Mm-hmm. But I also just feel from a sophistication standpoint, as much as bourbon has gotten to that sophistication point, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not just at a bar, like we've got beautiful bottles and aftermarket deals and whatnot. Cigars are, to me anyway, I feel like they're starting to come around to a lot more people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, the whole market is opening up
so
much more. It's such a younger audience now that people are, you know, learning and getting into it. It's no longer your grandfather's pastime.
Right.
Now it's people. I mean, I do a ton of weddings every year with the Mobile Cigar Lounge.
Same.
And I mean, it's one of those where to see the education level of even like the early 20-year-olds that are getting in and have been into cigars for a few years, it's really becoming something of sophistication. And it's kind of that resurgence of the older things. I mean, even pipes now are coming back around again, and I'm seeing more of that.
Got me a wooden pipe.
Yes, I love, especially this time of year where it's slower. I love a good pipe.
And that's with the vibe of it. We always talk about this place, and if you guys obviously make it down here if you can, because these guys are phenomenal.
Yeah,
but it's already got a very roaring 20s vibe.
Yeah.
Like it's a place where
speakeasy style. Yeah.
It's a place where sophisticated people can get business done.
Yes.
That's how I feel. Like
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
like that. Exactly. Yeah. Over good drinks.
Exactly.
Yeah. And conversation, right?
Yeah.
And so guys, I know, you know, this, like I said, this is kind of going to be a real estate adjacent episode. And what we mean by that is normally we give you market updates, we give you statistics, stats, but we really wanted to partner up with Cigar Dojo and Trinity Cigars to give you an insight into how you can prepare like a smoking room or a cigar room in your home. Because as was just said, it's becoming more popular, mm-hmm. right? And if you don't do it right, it can cause a lot of issues.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Right? So many. So many. And this is a soapbox topic for me.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
Well, I think it's like we talked about off camera. We're seeing a resurgence of the man cave from a sophisticated, like you go on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
I go on Pinterest. Guilty. And I start looking up like whiskey tasting rooms in my house because I have my office.
Yeah.
But I want to make it like I don't just want shelves. Like I want the whole somebody to walk in and have an experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that's, you know, with Scott being here, I think it's a cool opportunity for us to just talk through like what that looks like in your home or outside of your home or in a garage setting and how to do it right. Pros and cons. I'm excited, man.
Me too.
I'm pumped.
Me too. And so for this episode, as you guys all know, Chris Collins, the head chef here at the Rouge, he is a bourbon lover. He's been doing it for over 15 years. There's a reason.
He might love it more than we do.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
I mean, the collection that he has is amazing, but we specifically asked him.
What do you say, just as an aside? I was asking him today about George C. Stagg bourbon, right? So if you guys know what that is, it's very hard to find. And there's a liquor store that has it for $5.99, $600. And I go, have you guys been able to get that? And he goes, no, not yet. But do you guys want to see something that they don't have? And that's how we walk into this
place.
There's
like 40 bottles total, and
every
I have two of them.
And he just walks in. Yeah, 42 bottles in the state of Colorado. And this man has two of them. So when we say we have access to things that most people don't have access to, like we're talking like top secret clearance access to things.
Yeah, don't say it too loud. You know I mean, seriously, this needs to stay.
That's right. You know what? If you tell anybody, I'll kill you.
Just keep it quiet. You and three or four friends.
Yeah, keep it quiet.
No more.
I love it. I love it. Well, the reason I bring it up is because I asked Chris, hey, we're talking cigars today. So what do you recommend for, you know, if you're sitting around with a group of friends smoking cigars, and this is a testament to Chris again. So what bourbon do you recommend? He said, all of them.
Facts.
It's like, exactly.
Love it.
But we wanted to keep this a little bit more special because, again, it's a Colorado-based cigar company. And please, guys, check out Cigar Dojo's channel. They are phenomenal with the information that they give you if you are a cigar lover. You will get every bit of information that you ever need
or
about
cigars.
Or
if you're not a cigar lover, but you're like, you know what? Maybe I kind of want to become one. Cigar
Dojo.
Well,
yeah. Yep. I mean, it's the whole motto is never smoke alone.
I love it.
That's the whole deal.
I love it. I love it. And on that note, too, never drink alone, right?
Exactly.
And on today's episode, what we're going to be drinking is a really special blend from Old Elk. And it's actually Old Elk Cigar Cut. And if you guys remember, we did a series last year with Old Elk when we were in the old studio at the Bourbon Club. And this is not one that they sent us.
Right.
We did.
I didn't know this existed until today.
So this is such a special special bottle and blend. I'm actually going to go ahead and let you take it because I know you know some about it.
Oh, man. So this stuff is delicious. This, if I got to remember off the top of my head right, this is a six-year aged product. They do a mix of sherry cask finish as well as port cask finish on it.
Interesting.
It is a delicious blend. I mean, notes of like stone fruit, vanilla, a little bit of like spiced honey. This is an excellent one. I don't say this lightly because I am not specifically a Colorado whiskey guy.
Yeah.
I am definitely that purist when it comes to my whiskeys. It's definitely, you know, Kentucky first, everything else, you know, far down the list.
Right.
Yeah. So, but this is one of the few that coming a product. Now I say it loosely because it is a combination. It isn't just a Colorado company.
Right.
So, but I still call it that because they've got their spot out here. So it is a Colorado whiskey in my opinion. And this is probably one of the best ones you can get.
I just want to call it out. He said, I don't know if I can pull this off the top of my head. Got everything right about it.
Yeah. I try. It's hard. Trust me.
Under promise, over deliver.
Yep. You darn right.
That is the motto.
That is the motto.
Got everything
right. I think it's interesting because, so we've had four different Old Elks, right? We had the weeded, we had the barrel strength, we had the bourbon and the rye.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Number the four?
Yep.
So, and none of them were sherry or port cask at all.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they do that because it's specifically built to pair with cigars.
Yep.
And you don't want to layer charcoal on charcoal and smoke on smoke, right? You want a little bit of a different flavor profile.
You want those nuances. Yes. And you want to bring some sweetness to it because especially with a lot of the smoke, because I mean, even like the Strike Force that I gave you gentlemen, that's our collaboration with Guy Fieri. That's one that is a big full bodied smoke.
Right.
That's big notes of like salted caramel, nougat, a little bit of dark chocolate. Yeah. I mean, it is a very big, rich, heavy smoke on that one. And it's delicious. But you get too dark, you get too heavy on, you know, too oaky, too older age statement, you know, it can be too much.
Right.
It can overwhelm your palate. And then it's just now you're fighting each other.
Yeah.
You want them to dance together. That's the whole point of a good cigar and a good whiskey is you want them to play. You want the sum to be, you know, greater than.
And I love this because one thing that they talk about on the label, and it kind of goes hand in hand, when you think of cigars, you think Cuba, you think tropical, right? The reason that they did it with the rum cask and the sherry is all because they're trying to bring out those more tropical flavors in the bourbon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to go so well with what we're doing today. But let's go ahead and get our noses in it. Here you go. Get some cheers.
Yes, cheers.
Some notes going on for everybody. Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get my nose in it.
I'll tell you what, this is why, like, I know we started this as we're all getting our noses in. We started this as a real estate podcast, obviously, right? And the goal was to, you know, real estate can be difficult to talk about. So we wanted to take the edge off and drink bourbon. We enjoy bourbon. But the evolution, right, and I think this is why this is such a cool opportunity today, is you talk about food pairings and wine pairings. Right. And there's a science, an art and a science that goes into it. But most people wouldn't, the layman or laywoman wouldn't necessarily associate the nuances of the right cigar with the right bourbon, you know, and
in the
how
right
those
setting.
In the right setting and how that plays off.
It is.
So the complexities that, you know, like Scott's talking about with the different flavor profiles of either a barrel for a bourbon or a cigar with a bourbon or a whiskey. It's just cool. I mean, you can get into the rabbit hole with these.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, you can go so deep into this and you can nerd out so hard on this. I mean, we've done that on a few of our podcast episodes that we do on Wednesdays, our Flavor Odyssey podcast.
Available
where
on YouTube.
We will
look
just,
it up.
Yes, we will just, I mean, sometimes we'll get way down that rabbit hole. We're talking barrel chars. We're talking, you know, cap numbers.
Yep.
We're talking everything you can possibly do. And then some days we're just like, you know, it's whiskey.
Yep.
It's good. It's awesome. I like it.
So I've got a buddy of mine, and I just talked to him last week. He's moving up to Toronto. Currently he's in New York. But he is a master, basically a barrel selector for Old Forester and Heaven Hill.
Oh, nice.
So I told him the next time he's in Colorado
that
if he's here on a Wednesday, we're going to bring him on. And he was all about it. But he goes and he travels across the world to hand select barrels to age bourbon in.
Hey, any bourbon whiskey companies that are listening, this is now our close to 80th different bourbon that we're trying. And any of us are open to that opportunity.
Yes.
Anybody knows anybody?
Yeah,
exactly.
Hook us up with that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just, And
awesome.
You know, we discovered this, Scott, and I'm excited. We got to bring you back for like a cigar episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And do it like outdoors or something or, you know, in your.
Well,
in your mobile deal.
Let's do it. I can bring up the lounge.
Yeah. Because we figured this out. Like anytime you go to a wine tasting with a sommelier and they kind of walk you through the different flavor profiles and what you should be.
Totally
you
different
know,
experience.
It's a completely different experience when you have somebody
that
is knowledgeable and passionate about the education side of it versus. You know, and we're pretty.
I was
going
to say, shout out last week's episode, the Balcones.
We're pretty
episode.
Good, but we had Balcones come on, and I mean, just walking us through and how they walked us through the different line, it makes all the difference in the world. And if you guys get a chance to experience that, I'm telling you, it will change your mind completely. Same with cigars. If you guys get a chance, and we talked to Scott when you were here, that was probably a month and a half ago, right?
For
the party.
About 2 months
and,
ago, yeah.
And Scott was able to walk, and you guys chatted for a while through the different cigar flavors and
what
he brings to the
table.
He has his own
custom menu.
No, it's fantastic. It just gives it a completely different appreciation for something that a lot of people would take for granted if they've never experienced it. So, like I said, if you guys get a chance, Trinity Cigar Company, Cigar Dojo on YouTube, their channel, check it out, because the information is going to be phenomenal. It'll give you guys a brand new
appreciation. And it's always the knowledge that you gain just adds to the experience.
Hell yeah. Well, exactly. It gives you that base knowledge where you can take and you can run with it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, where you're not, I mean, even like, I know whiskey bars can be intimidating to walk into.
Sure.
I know, same way with like cigar lounges.
Yes.
It's not something that you just want to walk in unarmed. You want to have a little bit of base knowledge when you mm-hmm. walk in that you're like, okay, I know what Jack Daniels is.
Right.
But, what is Hirsch?
Yep.
You know, and it's like, yep. is that mm-hmm. good? You yeah. know, you want to have a little bit of knowledge behind
it. Especially now, I mean, you go to a bar like, and you see the vodka selection, there's like four or five bottles.
Yep.
You go to a good bourbon bar. I mean, Chris has what? Over 200 bottles
yeah.
up there?
That's yeah.
intimidating.
And that it's even on the top of the, right. on the top of the bar. Like, it's wild, but it's incredible. You know, we've said it already, but you think bourbon, you think cigars, yep. you think bourbon. And that's why this combination, this cigar cut from Old Elk. I mean, I don't know. Have you guys gotten your nose in it at all?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now. My nose is useless. So I'm
I know. Mine's okay. coming back. Mine's yeah. coming back. I'm a little bit
so
on the
So this
back
is 111
that,
proof.
So I can't. Okay. On that note.
Yes.
Does it. To me, I don't. I get zero ethanol burn whatsoever.
It's so that's what. That's
but
why
again,
I was going to say.
It's part of it's because
no. It's there, but
it's there, but
it's flavorful.
Yeah. It's
not
empty.
It's spiced.
Yeah. It's not one of those burns where you sniff it and you know your head retches back.
Yeah,
it's going to burn you.
You're going to bite you.
Yeah, yeah. It's there, spiced. But it plays into so well that rum and sherry.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that
yeah.
comes out so heavy.
If I breathe it in and I keep my mouth open, I put on the top of my
yeah.
my palate, I can yep. start to get a little bit of that sherry. Notes.
There's like a subtle vanilla sweetness to it
yep.
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to go ahead and get the first sippings. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers, gentlemen.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, mm. rich vanilla.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big honey note.
Mm-hmm. That spice.
Yeah, and then the spice on the finish. It starts out so sweet on the front,
yeah.
and it's that nice spice
on the
finish.
You guys ever had honey bunches of oats?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very yep. similar to that.
Yeah. Yep. It's so I know the first sip you always get that burn, but it was almost as if like the burn started at the tip of my tongue and then rolled back. It wasn't in one spot.
Yep.
It didn't cover like the outside, but I will say, especially learning, you know, on last week's episode, the oil content, that's
yes.
what brings up the silkiness.
Yeah.
This is extremely silky.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
how many different things are combined into it.
Yeah. A good viscous bourbon, a good oily coating bourbon
yep.
is just, it's amazing. It can change the complexity and the flavor
yeah.
completely.
That's what we walked to, because I mean, that was something, this is why I love doing this podcast. We learn something new almost mm-hmm. every episode. And that was something when Balcones came out.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about the viscosity of it and
yeah.
how they play with it in wow. their different bottles makes a huge difference.
And that yes. second sip sits on the middle of your tongue with such a sweetness. And it is, maybe I ruined the experience a little bit knowing that it was more tropical, but I 100% get that. It's that citrusy sweet. It's not like punch you sugary sweet, but it's almost like the rind.
Yeah, it's like an orange peel.
Yeah, yep. like the rind yeah. of the citrus.
Yep.
That's
yep.
okay.
Yeah, that fruit flavor coming from the sherry cask kind of sits on the middle of the tongue mm-hmm. for a little bit. And then I get the vanilla notes towards the back end.
Yeah.
And it sits with caramel vanilla.
It sits with caramel vanilla, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know Old Elk, they do focus heavily on their barrels.
Correct.
And the barrels
the
that they use.
Char ratings and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Char ratings and stuff.
Which,
so,
again, this is unique because it's sherry and mm-hmm. sherry and port cask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, first
God,
couple
I
sips.
Wish I didn't have a head cold.
Yeah, first
I
couple
like
sips.
I'm
right,
half
I know.
This
I'm like sitting here. I'm like, okay, I've got
yes
80% of
yes,
this.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Charlie's
I'm missing.
Like,
I know I'm missing.
Want,
I'm like, I want that other 20%, yes. but it's not fully back yet. Yes.
I
gotta love, you know, early winter.
Yeah,
yeah,
especially
cold,
here in Colorado.
So.
Well, and Charlie doesn't. Do you have kids, Scott?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I have a daughter. She's 5, and as soon as school starts. I just, my house.
Oh, it's just
petri
little germ
dish,
factories.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what
and
it is.
And it's annoying because it's like, you're just on the precipice of sick
yeah.
for like 9 months.
Yeah.
And you don't remember what feeling good is like.
No. You're,
but then
you're,
summer comes and all of a sudden it's gone. You're like, oh my God, this is how life is.
Yeah.
And then boom, September, October, precipice of sick for 9 months.
You just,
sick for 9 months.
You just constantly have
And
like,
then I get to try this amazing bourbon and I'm like, you know what? 60% of it is fantastic. The other 40, who knows?
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, guys, like we said, normally our episodes are real estate heavy and we pound in on statistics and stuff. But
and we'll be honest, part of the reason we want to do this today is because, let's not be transparent, there's not a lot of happy-go-lucky happening in the real estate market currently. even as buyers, you guys have choices right now, but rates are still high. They've actually gone up since the election, which semi-anticipated, but not this bad. So we want to do a fun episode with you guys.
Yeah. And so on today's episode, we really want to delve into the benefits, you know, kind of everything around building a smoking room in your home. So if you want to have like a cigar room, a whiskey room, do both in the same room. So just to give you guys kind of a little outline of where we're kind of going to talk about it. First, what we want to go over is why you want to put effort into building a smoking specific room in your home. Especially as realtors, you walk into some real disaster stories where they don't have the proper ventilation and you could just see the grime on the walls. You can feel the
nicotine
stickiness.
Stains. Mm-hmm. The nicotine stains. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. I mean, you look at even the cigar lounges that are around and ones that have been in the same spot for 10, 15 years. Look at the walls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, you Churchill know? Bar? I mean, it's one of the endearing parts for me. It's yellow. Yes,
but you're
from an endearing standpoint, sure. From a resale standpoint, no.
I mean, it's one of those where you do not want that in your home. You do not want to have them walk in and be like, well, I can see the studs because the nicotine stains have just been streaking it for the last decade plus. Yeah.
So, Scott, let me ask you this. What's your background when it comes to cigar rooms, smoking rooms?
Oh, boy. So I don't have a specific background per se. I mean, of course, I grew up in the generation where, you know,
everybody
smoked everywhere. There was no limits. I mean, my grandparents' home, they had their parlor, which had more ashtrays than I think tables, you know, where everybody was smoking cigars, everybody was smoking pipes. That was what it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I grew up around and then moved through that generation into now where it's hard to smoke almost anywhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, I understand it. I'm not going to sit there and argue the finer points of smoking.
Yeah. Well, no. And that honestly, that leads perfectly into one of the biggest reasons why you want to prepare.
But exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Is because, you know, and I grew up, my entire family smoked cigarettes, cigars, all that kind of stuff. And I'll be honest with you, when I first heard secondhand smoke, I was like, oh, I'm fine, you know, whatever. But with cigar smoke, it's so much heavier.
It is. It's pungent.
Yep. And if you're just smoking in like your living room, you also have to think if you have kids, if you have family members, if you have an elderly family member that lives with you, even though you can't see it, you're adding those particulates to the air. You're making the air heavier, making it harder for them to breathe.
Exactly. It's just like they say about a good HVAC system in a home, you know, with pet dander and dust and mold. I mean, smoke, that's something that's very obvious. Mm-hmm. So it's something you do have to take into consideration. Yep. You can't just smoke in your house and just willy-nilly. I mean, you can. I wouldn't recommend
it. Don't get me wrong. You own it. It's yours. You can do what you want.
But that
leads into a phenomenal point, right? And this is something that we see all the time with people that go, oh, well, I have an HVAC system. I can smoke inside. It's just going to filter it out. What does that work?
Yeah, no. you want to ruin an HVAC system and you want to stain and stink up your entire house? Smoke cigars in your house and let it go through your HVAC system.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get every room in your house to smell like an old cigar.
Yeah. And I mean, I would even, I almost kind of want to find somebody who does it just so I can take out their air filter and show it. Because a normal air filter is going to be gray.
Yeah.
A smoker's air filter.
A perfect example, and I say this very lovingly, in our studio that we have for our podcast with Cigar Dojo, we have our own separate heating and air conditioning, and we take out the filters on the air conditioner, you know, not as often as we should to change it. But, I mean, when you take them out, it's just black. You know, it's just this charcoal gray soot. And dust and particulates that built up and the smoke running through the system and changing those and cleaning those up. And then you look and you can see the film on the inside on the condensers and, you know, everything. Yeah. So it gets everywhere.
It does. You know, and not to mention the fact that HVACs, and you guys have heard us talk about it regularly, that is one of the largest costs for homeowners.
I put one in this summer. I know. Yeah, not fun.
Well, the other thing, too, and Colorado's, you know, obviously regional specific, we have a ton of new home construction. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about SEER ratings and Energy Star ratings in homes. And one of the reasons, or one of the ways that homes become very energy efficient is because they're what you would call hermetically sealed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of airflow, right?
Yeah.
And you can always tell if, like, my parents' house is notorious for it. If the front door and the back door are open at the same time, I mean, it turns into a wind tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Which is great for cutting down the cost of your heating and your cooling. However, when you're talking about something like cigar smoke or a cigar room,
yeah,
it's just less all that does is that air just gets recycled.
It has nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
It think has about, to stay guys, there and just permeate.
I'm gonna say, think about in your car. You know that button that shows the air going through your car? That's exactly what you're doing. You're just letting that smoke heavy air just recirculate within your home.
Yeah, and it doesn't disappear. It just settles into just things.
Well, and you know, we talked about HVAC. We talked about, you know, it can leave soot on the walls and stuff, but something that not a lot of people think about, and this is something that I didn't, don't get me wrong, you know it happens, but it's not front of mind. Furniture flooring.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like if you're smoking in a room,
carpeting is atrocious for cigars. I mean, it will just soak that like a sponge. And I mean, you can't get rid of that.
It literally sits in the fibers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it. I've seen people take it up out of their smoking rooms and they'll take up, they had carpet in there when they started and they decided to take it out and the subfloor is stained.
Wow.
It's a different color because the nicotine is soaked into that and the smoke is soaked into that for so long. It's actually staining the subfloor.
Wow.
Where it is a different color.
Huh.
I mean, I've seen that in people that do a smoke in their garages and turn their garages into smoking rooms, have exposed rafters. You look at the studs on there after about 5 years, and they are this golden yellow color. Mm-hmm. And it's just – and that's even with good ventilation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just – it permeates everything.
Exactly. And then, you know, on the furniture portion, you guys see the chairs that we're sitting on. And the reason that it gets stuck in the carpeting is because of those fibers, those little microfibers that capture each little particle of the nicotine in the smoke. Same exact thing with your furniture. So if you go into like, I don't know, I would say like grandparents' house, because they tend to have those like
the plastic covers.
No, well, not only the plastic covers, but like the like these, like the
suede,
the material,
yeah, the little like velour-y,
yeah. And I mean, it's just dog hair. Everything gets stuck in it. So if you're planning on, you know, smoking in your house first, don't.
I'd say that's the greatest thing.
Why don't we go down that road, right? So let's say, you know, the option one, if you do want to build like a smoking bourbon lounge in your house, right? Or parlor. I feel like we should start calling them parlors again. Bring back the smoking parlor. So what are some things that when you are going to, you know, to that's the project, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the okay from the significant other. Hey, I'm building a smoking bourbon room. What are the things to pay attention to when you're building out that room that'll help mitigate all of these things that we just kind of talked about?
Yeah.
We'll get rid of them, but it'll help mitigate.
No, there is mitigation.
So what I want to kind of do is give this a little bit of a structure. So I kind of want to start big and then we'll kind of tailor it down, right?
Yeah.
So in your experience, you know, is there a position or a place in the house, a room specific, that would be the best option to make into a cigar room?
So a lot of people love doing like the man cave design. They love to go to the basement. They love, you know, because a lot of times in a lot of newer houses too, that's where the bar is that they put in. So they want to kind of build that, and that's that natural gravitation. I always tell everybody I tend to gravitate away from that just for the fact that, of course, smoke rises.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to put a lot of effort into that if you're going to do it in the basement level of your house.
Yep.
You need to seal that up because it will. It will migrate through the ceiling, it will migrate into the trusses between and that subflooring underneath, and it will, unless you really put in the money and the effort to seal that off and create that space. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, some of the best ones that I've seen that are the clearest and they have the most luck is actually they go like upstairs.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen guys turn like spare bedrooms or, you know, things like that into their smoking area or, you know, remodel that. Because, I mean, let's face it, if you're doing it, you're not just going to like throw up a wall here and, you know, and call it your smoking room. If you want to do it and you really want to build it out, you're putting some money into it. You're really thinking about investing some time and some effort to that. So, yeah, you've got to choose, you know, more appropriately. Right. And I mean, that's step one is, I wouldn't put it in a basement personally because that's just, I mean, you're just, you know.
Well, it rises. And then it also, I mean, a lot of, especially here in Colorado, we have walkout basements are the thing. That's it. If you have a basement, it's a walkout, right? And so a lot of the time you don't think about the fact that if you're doing a basement, most of the times walkout basements cover almost the entire square footage of the home. That is a lot of surface area for you to be focused on making it seal proof, tight proof, you know, non-permeable.
Yeah.
Versus if you were to go into a room, an office space, that's a lot smaller. So that'll cut your cost down right there.
Yeah.
It's just optimizing that room.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Creating that space, you know, and you got to know how big you want it to be. I mean, are you just going to have one or two of your buddies over sitting, you know, in a setting like this where it's that, or do you entertain?
Yeah.
I mean, and if you entertain, then you do have to think about that and what kind of space you need for that
sure.
to be able to properly entertain. And also look at it honestly. Do you really want to entertain that much? Mm-hmm. Or at that point, do you want to, you know, talk with a local tobacconist and cigar lounge and create a space there where people can go right. and you can create your event there?
So let me ask, what about a garage?
Oh, boy, those are the popular ones. Yeah. Everybody seems to nowadays, especially with COVID, I see that so often where everybody is turning their garage into another usable space sure. rather than their vehicles where they can pull them in a storm if they need to. But mm-hmm. other than that, they've got carpeting down. They've got couches. They've got TVs, which are fun. That's great. Problem with that is there's no real good way to isolate that from the rest of the house. You've got the whole separation wall there that you're dealing with between the main house and the garage. You've got the door coming in and out because inevitably people are going to need to use the restroom or go in and out of the house. And there, even if you have great ventilation in there and have the garage doors open, you're still pushing smoke.
And that's exactly what
your house,
bring up.
No matter what.
I just feel like for me, I know I have friends that have bought houses and, you know, they want to smoke in the house and they're like, oh man, I smoke in my garage. I just cracked the garage door. It's fine. No.
Yeah. Yes, it's fine, but no.
Not for the longevity.
No, not in the longevity. And you'll see that because, I mean, people that do it and they're like, oh, yeah, I don't have any smoke in my house. And then it's like you'll see them 3-4 years down the road and they're like that accumulation over time of opening the doors and just, you know, consistently smoking in there. And then you're like, okay, your house smells like a smoker's house.
Now, does that change if you're using a not necessarily a detached garage, but let's say like a third car garage that doesn't share that common, you know what I mean?
It does give you an extra degree of separation where it has like that wall between where that third, you know, that storage garage almost for like your lawnmowers and things like that, where I've seen people do that. And that does help a lot because it creates almost a breezeway space between for the main garage. It's still one that I tell everybody. It was like, you still have to be careful though.
Yeah.
Because over time, it's a constant. Smoke gets through, especially if you're not ventilating it very well, because then the smoke accumulates in that room. And then that gives it a bigger wall of smoke and a bigger waft as doors open and close, where you're pushing it into the main garage. And then over time, the main garage starts to smell like cigars. And then that smell starts to work its way into the main house. And
well, no, I love it. And it's almost like we paid you for these transitions. That's amazing. So we pick the room. Let's say we're doing an office space.
Okay.
And we go from, you know, again, overarching, we got the room, we got the structure. Now let's kind of go into the space within the structure, the volume of the air in the structure. A lot of people, when they think cigars, they think ventilation, they think fans, exhaust, you know, and I've had, again, I know people who have taken gone to Walmart and they buy a $10, $15 box fan, open their window, shut the window on top of it and flip it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that?
I mean, that works. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good start. I mean, it really is, because then you're pulling. I tell everybody that it's like, okay, you need good ventilation. You need to change the air out in the room at least every 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to plan for. So whether it be via opening a window and box fan, or whether you're having an actual exhaust fan and plumbing and ducting that goes through there
so
to exhaust
can you kinda,
out.
Can you kind of delve into that? What is that? What does that look like? What is that setup normally? Is that, you know, cutting a hole in the wall, putting a fan in? Is that adding an air duct? What does that
normally
look like?
I mean, you can go anywhere. I've seen some where literally they just put basically a bathroom exhaust fan in and ran a couple of ducting to that and then ran that and plumbed that and piped that outside.
And that's completely separate
and that's
from their
separate
existing.
From their existing. That's a standalone system that it pulls. Now, here's the hard part with that is you're pulling air from somewhere. You're pulling it from your house. When with that, you have to watch that, because you can be pulling air in from the house, and if it gets to a point where it's not keeping up, you can actually start kicking air back through. You can start pushing it around the seals.
That's such a great point, because you don't think about, you know, I said the volume, the air volume in the room.
Yeah.
That's such a great point, because you really don't think about the fact that, hey, if I put an exhaust fan in my office upstairs and I turn that on while I'm smoking, that air has to come from somewhere. Right. And let's say it's during the summer and you have your AC on.
Yeah.
you're literally just, hey, AC, bye.
You're literally just pulling it and kicking it straight out of the room, right. Straight out of the house. I know some people, like, they did that where they'll do the exhaust fan styles where they'll build it in, you know, into the ceiling so it looks very nice and it's very clean, you know, finished look. And then they'll put an air intake on the wall, on an outer wall, where that way when they turn it on, it actually, you see it kick open,
yeah,
and it's pulling air from outside,
ah,
rather because they've sealed it off, so sure, it's not pulling inside the house, which is a good option, but there are also drawbacks with that. Then you've got to think in the wintertime, you're bringing in the cold air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cooling off that room and that space quickly. And in the summer, you're bringing in that hot outside air. So you have to be able to cool that space, wow, down too. So then you've got to look at options for air conditioning, heating, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's something that people that have bought newer construction homes will be familiar with, because most new construction homes come with a fresh air return.
Yeah.
And that's, you'll hear it kick on every once in a while. And they do that because these homes are so sealed, mm-hmm, that you have to bring fresh air in. So that function is built into a lot of newer homes. So we're talking about a smaller scale for a specific room to allow that to come in. But yeah, you're right, because now you've got climate control, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of, we just talked about it. It's real cozy to smoke a cigar during the winter, but in Colorado, if it's 17 degrees outside and that fresh air return kicks on,
yeah, you cooled that space off quick.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, even if it's a small return, yep, it's just it is yes, a fast, yep, change. Wow.
But the point is, and you're obviously, we touched on this, but the recommendation would be, Keep any sort of ventilation. Isolate it.
Do not connect it to your main house's HVAC system. Do not have any duct work that goes from your HVAC system. I don't care if you've got it closed off or not.
Doesn't matter.
It gets in there.
Yeah. Yep.
And it will ruin your HVAC system, and it will inevitably start pumping that smell into the rest of the house, no matter how well you've done it. So if you're doing that, you need to close off that, and it needs to be its own isolated space.
Well, and I'm sorry, but you just keep doing it. So let's talk about, you know, how do you isolate it? We've said proper ventilation. We've said proper isolation of the room. What does that look like? So is that, you know, let's go back to the college days when we're doing the devil's lettuce, the gateway, as they call it. You wet a towel. You put it at the base of the door.
Put it at the base of the door and plug in keyhole.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah.
So what is that? What we're virtually talking about? How do you do that effectively and efficiently for a cigar room? How do you separate it?
You've got to seal it. So I mean, I always say I'm like, a lot of, especially now with like the more modern designs and what people are doing in homes, glass is a easy way to do that. They're doing a lot of, like, I see a lot of glass walls, a lot of glazing in that instance, where they're creating those walled rooms where it's sealed off. The doors are fully sealed doors, so when they come through, they shut. They have big rubber seals around it, gaskets that close that off, so that way there's not air and smoke pushing around that. Most guys are using mini splits for those rooms. They're isolating that so it's its own system.
What's a mini split?
So mini split is, I don't know what the technical term, but basically it's its own little personal space for like heating and air conditioning.
Yeah. Okay.
It can be used for both on that instance. And they're very efficient. They're very, you know, high quality. I know a lot of people do them, especially out here in the hills where they're not needing a full home like central air conditioning, mm-hmm, where they want to be able to, you know, heat or cool spaces.
Yeah.
Where like, say your bedroom, you want to keep it cooler than the rest of the main house, but you don't need central air. You live up in the hills. It's great most of the time, but at night you want to be a little cooler when you sleep. You can have those mini splits that run that room in that section.
Okay.
And they, you know, can not only heat but cool as well. And they do a great job of that. Better than like a portable air conditioner or something like that, in my opinion.
Okay.
But a lot of guys do those and they create their own isolated pocket. So even in a house where it's sealed, this is another extra sealed space where they've glass walled it. They've put in either like wood flooring. Some guys I know have done like poured concrete flooring, uh-huh, where they've designed the concrete on that and done that, which is really nice too. But sealed the flooring, they pulled down the drywall, they put up extra ceiling around that, they redid that, they put in their own, you know, mini split system for that space so they can heat it and cool it with its own air intake, so that way you're not drawing from the house in any way, shape or form. Because that is one thing I do see in some, where it's like guys that'll do it and don't have the proper returns for that. They open the door and you can, I mean, it's almost like
suction.
Yeah, because you're trying to break that seal because it puts such a negative pressure on the room.
Right. So if somebody's looking to do, you know, let's say they do have that office space and they're looking to seal that office space, what's something common? Like, can they go to Home Depot and buy one of those pads that you slide on the bottom of the door? What do you, how did, you know, how would the layman's man do it with like an office space?
You know, honestly, I tell everybody if they're going to do it, go in. You can get extra sealing for like doors, like rubber sealing that you can put on that'll help create that actual airtight seal. The little draft keepers, they're not going to do much. Right. And they're also going to soak up the smoke as well. I mean, it's better than nothing, but also understand that you're going to have to change that out. After, okay. you know, not sure. probably seasonally almost right. because it's going to permeate with smoke no matter how good you have it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those where a good door, you know, don't have the little cheap hollow thin doors. Invest in a good door. Get a solid wood door. Or get, you know, a solid like glass door if you're going to do it that way. Okay. Create that seal for it. Give it something quality to attach to.
Like a fire seal door.
Yeah.
Every house has one in between the garage yep. and the main house. It's always the heavier door.
Yep.
More expensive, but.
Yeah.
They are very, very solid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And create good seals around, you know, the doorway yep. itself. I mean, that's a cheap way. I mean, you don't have to go to all these, you know, nth degree. But I tell everybody, I was like, you know, looking at it, if you're going to spend the money, spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't go 60% of the way there. Right.
Especially if you're going to make it a cigar-specific smoking
room. Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I know a lot of people, especially through COVID, they turn their offices into their cigar room.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's fine. You know, that's cool. That's your own space. You can do with it as you, you know, you want and you will. But also, if you're going to do that, don't just, you know, grab a box fan and throw it in the window and call it your cigar room.
Exactly.
Put a little time, put a little effort
into
it.
So on that note, is there anywhere, any places that you can recommend? Like, can people go to Home Depot? Can they find maybe something at Cigar Dojo that talks about certain exhaust fans or anything like that?
You know, we don't have a whole lot that we've done with that. I tell everybody, I was like, you know, there's, well, so in speaking of exhaust and air and things like that, there's a few options out there. So you've got, you know, the exhaust fans themselves that run through kind of like, you know, the bathroom exhaust fans. I know people that do that. We use one in our studio is what we've fitted that with so we can help draw air out and clear out the air for us, and it works very well for what we do. But it is also a standalone studio that isn't connected to anything else, so even though with that it is still, you can see over the years our refrigerator that we have in there is nice and yellow and you know, it's one of those where I tell everybody, I was like, don't ever get that refrigerator wet.
Yeah.
Because it's just gonna melt.
Yeah.
Because it's just been years of just smoke been caked on. But and that's even with an exhaust fan the entire time we've done this. So I guess it's one of those where, you know, put in a little effort, look into those like that, talk to people. There isn't a tried and true method, but I say not only do you need good ventilation, you need good air purification.
Oh, right. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Man, you're killing it. Yes. That's the next thing I was going to move on to is, as we come down, you know, we could talk about the exhaust pushing the air out. We can talk about sealing the room off so the air stays in there, but you're sitting in there mm-hmm. and there is smoke, and yeah, you're pushing that exhaust out, but again, it's a rotation of that air. It's not just pulling all of it out.
Right.
It's circulating until it leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So talking about like air purification, that is so important. Because it's simple. I mean, I know I went to the ARC thrift store up in Westminster, and I found like a $120 air purifier for $15-$20. Done. Put that in my bedroom. Cool. So is it that simple? Is it just something as you can buy a standalone air purifier?
Oh, you can. You can. And they make numerous different brands. Rabbit Air makes air purifiers. There's, Blue Ox makes like more like commercial grade air purifiers. I see those in a lot of cigar lounges, things like that. So they've got a lot of different options. They've also got ones on like Amazon that you can buy that have the filtration. Like
Dyson has
air purifiers. You can get those. And I tell everybody, that is not a remedy for good ventilation.
Right.
Yes.
That is, I always tell everybody that no matter what your air purifier is, it's not going to be big enough. I mean, I know a good friend of mine has his own private cigar lounge in a detached two-car garage that he completely converted and built out. Put this beautiful Blue Ox. I mean, this thing is, I think it's rated for like 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, this space is only like maybe 400, 450 square feet. It doesn't keep up.
Right.
It doesn't. on high, running full blast. If we've got four or five guys in there smoking, and especially if we're smoking like Drew Estate brand cigars that really plume smoke, it's one of those where it doesn't keep up. So we still have to crack windows, and he's got fans that he's put in there. Now, I will say this, an air purifier after the fact does a great job of cleaning up.
Right.
It doesn't. Okay. It helps pull that remnant smoke out overnight. Mm-hmm. So, like, say you had a couple of guys over in your smoking, you know, lounge.
Yeah.
You hung out for the evening, watched the game. Everybody had fun, went home. Leave the air purifiers on through the night and let it run through the night. And by the morning, you'll walk in there. And if you've got a good air purifier or one or two in there, then your room doesn't stink like cigars.
Okay.
It pulls that out overnight, but it's not going to keep up with you. I know guys that bought like the Rabbit Airs thinking that they could smoke cigars and it's just going to grab and then it's never going to get anywhere. That's not the case.
I mean, if that was the case, we would have solved
climate
change.
Yeah, like this would have been, this would have been figured. Easy. So as I say, a good air ventilation system where it's bringing in new air into the room, you know, and then a good air cleanup, air purification system to kind of help, scrub everything out at the end, clean up overnight, you know, reset yourself. Yeah. So, and it helps keep it down, and that will help over time keeping that smell out of your house.
I like how you set it up though. It is the ventilation and sealing for during.
Yeah.
Air purification for after.
Yep. Yeah.
And it just, that's awesome. I would love to, maybe we have to partner, we have to find somebody that we can do like a year-long study of like a room that has proper ventilation and ceiling with the air purifier versus non with the air purifier, and just see how it plays. Cause I think that is so important.
I mean,
important.
I've had a couple of listings I can show you that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm sure in the real estate world, you can really tell off the bat.
You can absolutely tell.
And it doesn't matter if there's, I mean, cigarette smokers, and I will say that cause I'm a hardcore cigar smoker.
Yep.
So I'm not a cigarette guy. Yep. So no offense to anybody that is, but cigarette smokers, man, they mess up houses.
Yes,
I mean, even when we were looking to buy our house, that was something that is like you could walk in and even as a cigar smoker, I walked in and
within
seconds. I'm like, what in the heck?
Yep.
I'm like, you could tell immediately that they smoked in the house. Yeah. And it's like,
and I love when they try and hide it. Yeah. Like they repaint the walls and they don't take care of the carpets.
They're like, we'll just kill the walls. It's fine. It's fine.
I have yet to find a company to do a cleaning on a house that gets rid of that smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've yet to find one.
Yeah. I mean, the only one I've ever seen that ever worked is a gentleman bought a house and it was an old house that I knew. And the woman that was there, she smoked like a chimney.
Yeah.
I mean, her entire life all the way up. I mean, with the oxygen tube on still smoking, you know, all the way to the end. She was a great,
sweet air purification
system. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was like, because oxygen definitely isn't flammable. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Fine.
You know.
It's
but anyway.
Man. My grandma did the same thing.
All I see is the animation from Fast and Furious where he hits the knob and the fire goes through
the fire goes
cable.
Through the tube. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, so he bought the house and they took it all the way down to stud.
You have to.
They took everything out. The ceiling, everything. And that was the only way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they even took the flooring out.
Well,
because the flooring itself, even underneath, was so stained because it was carpeted.
Yeah.
And the nicotine and the smoke from over the decades of smoking in there had just soaked in. So they took out the subflooring and they redid everything.
Even drywall is porous.
Oh, yeah. Drywall is notoriously bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said. It's like go into an old cigar lounge. Look at the walls.
Okay.
I'd love to get they've either painted those walls a brownish color.
Right.
To hide or they've been painted a brownish color.
I'd love to see like a side cut view of drywall that's in
just like the permeation layers.
Yeah. Almost like a smoke line on a brisket.
I was gonna say or like how you age trees, you just count the rings.
Yeah. Count the rings.
You're like, all right, this house is 17 years old.
Right.
So that being said, then we've gone through what? We've gone through the room.
The room.
Gone through the ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that people don't realize, to me anyways, the finishings inside the room and how that affects
exactly right? And so that's where what I kind of want to talk about. You heard us touch on it at the beginning of the episode, but furniture.
Yeah,
right. So what kind of furniture should somebody aim for when they're building out, and let's go ahead and tie the floor in this as well.
Okay. So yeah, I think furniture and finishings.
Sure. Yeah, furniture and finishings.
Yeah, finishings. I mean, avoid anything cloth. I mean, step one, I mean, you want leather chairs. You want, if you can't do that, do like the nice vinyl chairs. You want metal chairs, things like that, that are not going to absorb that smoke and absorb that smell over time. You have anything? I mean, yes, these are wonderful, comfortable chairs that we're sitting in today, and I love it. I would never have this in a smoking lounge, because within a year, this thing is just going to reek. And it's going to be, even if you're not smoking, you sit down, it's going to waft, and you're going to smell it.
Well, and I mean, I can only imagine, too, like, over time, you'd put your hand, you put your arm down.
It gets sticky. It's going to get real. I mean, you see it in some, where, I mean, you can feel it, and you even see that with just the natural oils in people's hands and on their bodies, just naturally over time, it will do that. Cool. Now,
I'm
compound that
oily motherfucker, and I get yelled at all the time because my house is newer, right? So gray tones, white tones. And when I, where I open doors, dude, if I don't use the handle, my wife gets pissed.
I go to my mom's house,
and my mom gets pissed. She goes, you and your dad have the oiliest hands. Look at these handprints. I'm like,
that's awesome.
It doesn't even, what do you mean? It's not oily.
I just washed my hands.
I never have to use lotion, which is great, but the downside is, my handprints, like, after a while, dude, they're everywhere.
Exactly. So it's like over years. You think of that, and then you add cigar smoke into that, and now you've got just gummy, sticky feeling armrests on chairs, you know.
So the leather makes sense to me, but is there, and I don't know if there's a right answer to this, but is there a difference between genuine leather and synthetic as far as the absorption and porousness of it?
So genuine leather will absorb more than what the synthetic leathers or, you know, the pleathers, you know, things like that they have. They won't absorb as much because it is just a fake product that is a sealed product, so it doesn't absorb it as fast. Leather is a slow absorbing, so, I mean, it will take years to do that. And if you do a decent job of cleaning up, if you're not a filthy individual and you're wiping your chairs down, you know, fairly often, you know, before guests come over, you're just going through and giving them a clean and a wipe down, that's going to help a ton.
So that was going to be my next, my follow-up question is, because you can get, you know, I use it on my cars all the time, like leather protectant.
Yeah.
Right. And that, I know it's got its own kind of scent and whatnot, but I feel like it would add that extra just protective layer to where the smoke and the tar.
Oh, I know guys that have used just even the leather waterproofer.
Okay.
And they'll do that on their cigar lounge furniture because it creates that, that physical barrier.
See, so that's,
you know, that'll do that and it helps keep that out. So,
awesome.
I mean, makes sense. Is something that you can do. And I don't know how well it works because I don't pay that close of attention.
I would assume it worked pretty well.
I would think, in general, you just have to make sure you did the whole chair. You're not just doing the visible that you're turning the chair over and doing the underneath. And otherwise, you're still just, you know, it's still going to be
even,
a spot.
To that point, then, the synthetic leather, it may not aesthetically be what you're looking for from a longevity standpoint, and being able to clean it and not hold that scent would probably be a better way to go.
Yeah.
Same with something like a metal coffee table versus a nice oak wood coffee table.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
doing more metal or poly or something like
or
that.
Or you could do, going back, harken to our days at the bourbon lounge, the dude that charged ridiculous amount for
the resin,
his stupid tables that looked horrible. He did oak and wood custom tables, but he had a resin on top of it that would seal it. So I would assume that if you wanted that kind of,
and that'll seal
old
it, but over time it will yellow that resin.
See,
the smoke will yellow that resin.
Okay,
you will see that, and you do see that in
things to think about, guys. This is not a one and done, which is why we have Scott on the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's and there is a lot to think of, and I mean, and you've got the furniture, but then you look at flooring. Step one: do not put any carpet or rugs in your cigar lounge.
Let's go ahead and pause for that for a second. I want to make sure I can get like big flashing lights on the screen here.
Yeah.
Do not put carpet in a smoking room.
I mean, if you want to create just a sponge and an absorber for all that cigar smell, that's how you do it.
Because I'm literally a sponge.
You know, we're
carpet,
sitting on a beautiful area rug right here and it's gorgeous. And I'm like, it would look great as an aesthetic in a cigar lounge. Don't do it.
Right. Yeah.
Don't do it.
That's something I was going to bring up is so many.
No. I mean, to that point, no throw pillows.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what I was going to say is
like nothing.
You always think of it like, because when I think, I've definitely been to cigar lounges that have these rugs.
Yeah.
But do it with a plan to either clean it regularly and or toss it and get a new one.
Yeah, and seriously, most of these cigar lounges, and God knows I love y'all. Don't get me wrong, but you do a horrible job of cleaning your stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
It's hard work, though.
It's not easy to do, and you have to commit time and expense to do that and to do it right.
So when it comes to flooring then, right, in my head, there's obviously options that come to mind. From a real estate standpoint, we've seen a lot of LVP, right, which is essentially or engineered hardwood.
Yep.
Either way, you're basically compressing planks, but it's still hardwood at the end of the day. We see tile, we see stone, we see marble. In your opinion, is there one that's better than the other when it comes to
ease of cleaning? I tell everybody, if you can afford it, put tile in.
Okay.
Put good big tile in.
Like stone tile?
Like marble tile, stone tile, things like that. Good non-porous tile.
Okay.
I know some of that stuff, they do some of that like engineered tile. That stuff is still porous.
You want natural stone.
Okay. I tell everybody, is like, if you can afford it and you're not like totally against the aesthetics of it, a good like marble tile is absolutely perfect. It's easy to clean, because even the smoke and the time and the tread, you can literally just mop that most of the time, and it does ease a job of cleaning up.
All I picture is, and I smell it. My mom used to, every week, she would do like a vinegar clean on the grout.
Oh yeah,
in the tile of her home, and all I smell it now. Like walking downstairs,
it's like PTSD. You're just in a corner in the fetal position.
Yeah, not vinegar.
Right. Well, we talk about with countertops, right? One of the best countertops you can have is quartz.
Yeah,
and the reason being is because it's essentially they're taking this block and they are compressing it so that it is not porous, and that's why it's easy to clean.
Yep,
it doesn't hold stains. You don't have to treat it necessarily.
Yeah.
So if you find a flooring that is of that same context, I mean, my rule of thumb is if you touch it and it's cold, it's probably good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When it comes to being non-porous, because it rejects the heat.
Yeah.
So stone, like my parents have stone tile in their house. I have LVP, so engineered hardwood.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, yeah, it's colder, but cleanliness and wear and tear and being able to just keep it, it's night and day difference. It's going to cost money.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. It's not cheap. But again, if you're building this out, and like I said, if you're going to do it right.
Do it right. Absolutely. And that's where, I mean, thank you. We've covered so much in this episode.
I want to go build one in my house right now.
Right now, right? And it's, I feel so much more, and I did research before we had this just so I could stay up with you.
I told you, I said, this is a soapbox topic for me.
I love it.
I can go into this in depth and just keep on going on these things.
I love it.
Because I've seen so much. I have my own opinions on that. Because, yes, I'm a cigar smoker, and I love cigars, and I smoke them regularly. Mm-hmm. I also don't want my house to smell like cigars.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to walk into my house. My kids live in that house. My wife, you know, I don't want that in that space for them. So if you're going to do it right.
And, with that being said, guys, this is – again, please understand that this is something that is costly, right? If you want to do it right, if you want to do it the right way, get the proper ventilation, get air purification, the right flooring, the right furniture, all that, it's going to cost you. So one thing that I want to kind of lean on is, let's say you want to do something like this, but you don't want to do it in your home. Mm-hmm. What, as somebody who's legitimately created a cigar lounge on wheels to take everywhere, Trinity Cigars, check them out, guys. Phenomenal event rental that you can have.
Yep.
Pulls up, phenomenal menu from personalized cigars, normal name brand cigars, and then he will be there to walk you through why. I mean, even at the event that we did, I've been smoking cigars since I was 18, but the way that you were able
to illegal.
Hey, it was before those times, it was it was such an experience to not only be able to go sit down and do it, but with you being able to talk me through and talk about the different flavors and stuff like that. So what are some options other than building in your home that cigar smokers can go through?
Oh boy. So the easiest one I tell everybody, especially if you're a homeowner and you have a covered patio, is create your space outside. You know, even in the wintertime, because even like right now, I have my smoking lounge space in my home, but I also have a space out on my patio that I have closed off. I have I've actually put a wood stove out there on the patio for that space. So I have my television, I have that, it's all covered. I seal it off, I get that going. And it also creates that space that is, you're still technically outside, and there's enough ventilation that it is just constantly changing out. Mm-hmm. So you're not doing that. I do have to be aware of the door going in and out,
sure,
you know, like that, because you can still get that drift effect that'll take through.
How do you close a space like that off?
Mine is easy enough. The way my house is designed with the patio, that quite literally, I just took, honestly, I just took tarps on the one spot, and I put them along the top and hung them down and tied them together. And then I have sunscreen walls, those retractable walls that are on there that I can close off that patio for the sun in the summertime. So I close those up, and then I put the tarp over top of it that creates almost a double wall barrier on that and just close that off. It's something very simple, but it works really well. It retains the heat for the wood stove, so I can fire up the wood stove, you know, and I can get the space nice and comfortable and warm, so I'm not cold out there, even in the wintertime, even in the coldest nights. And I can enjoy that space. I mean, I've seen people do as simply as putting a couple of patio heaters out on their covered patio, just, and maybe putting up a little like windscreen or something like that to keep the wind off of them.
So I was going to say, so that's, so my parents, they have, and they have a walkout basement, elevated patio, it's covered.
Yeah.
But what they did, and they don't, my mom's asthmatic, so she doesn't smoke, but if we could, they have what are called coolios, which you can get at Home Depot. They're about $130 a piece, and they span, I don't know, call it 36 inches by 60, and they're roll up, roll down. So you can roll them down, and we use it because Castle Rock is essentially Chicago when it comes to wind.
Legitimate.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what it is. It's the Palmer Divide.
It's fucking wild.
It's absolutely wild. So what we'll do is we'll go out there, and we essentially enclose her patio because she has coolios across all four sides. And when you close those, you're protected.
Yeah, it gives you a nice windbreak.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So that is an option that you can do.
Yeah, so some space heaters, some coolios.
And that's what we have.
I love that you said a tarp.
We don't have space heaters. Once you enclose that, she's got a nice fire pit about this size. It's a gas fire pit, right? Turn it on, and it keeps the heat in there.
For me,
outdoor speakers and hang out.
I was going to say, there's nothing for me. Don't get me wrong, I love cigar lounges. Like I said, I love Churchill Bar is mine. And then I think it's called Las Palmas Cigars.
Yeah. Yes.
Right next to the
Bar Las Palmas downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enough. If you guys are in Denver, check out the Churchill Bar in Las Palmas.
Churchill's an experience.
It's amazing. But it's funny because I always, there's just something different about smoking outside. With a fire, anything, you can't beat that.
Or while you're golfing.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, golfing cigars, still the ultimate.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Charlie, we'll get you out.
No.
Here's my other question then, because, and this is kind of a cheap way when we're talking about having those kind of like, let me see if I can say this right. He shed, she sheds.
He shed, she said.
You can go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get those prefabricated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sheds.
Yeah, I know. And so many people are doing that. Yeah, like $2,000.
Right.
You can get yourself a nice, now also check your regulations in your neighborhood to make sure that you can do that.
Right.
Don't just throw one up. That could be bad for you the long way around. But yes, the sheds are becoming super popular because they're creating a detached space.
Yes.
For people to do stuff like that. I've seen people build them out and they open all the way up and they're this great bar that they can use.
Hell, Costco has one that is
it's basically a little.
So you get, I mean, we've done this before. I've lived in two different new home construction sites, right? And my buddy JC, we were trying to figure out how to pave his patio. And we literally grabbed some of the guys that were working on a house that was still under construction. Like, hey man, do you guys do concrete work? Yeah, we do concrete work. I'm like, how much is it? Whatever. Cheap as hell. So you could get somebody to come out and pay
for a
400 square foot slab, stake it out, grab one of those sheds, put it on there as just a separate structure, as long as it's good with your HOA. But you could do that cheaply, and now you've got something that is completely detached from the house, right?
Yeah.
It has its own built-in insulation. If you do go in and out, like you were talking about with the door, it just vents into the night sky.
Yeah.
But that would be another really cheap way to have just kind of put a little TV in there, fire pit, whatever, and have it set up as a smoking
put the little electric fireplaces in there.
Yeah.
And they've got their TV and they've got a little bar in the corner. And I mean, they create these cool little spaces.
Yeah.
And it's almost kind of like an experience at that point.
Right.
Because that's also what you want to provide. You don't want to just do this and just have this like generic,
in an office.
And you're just in your office. I mean, that's cool.
My daughter's like, Dad.
exactly. You want to have this experience when you have your friends come over, you have guests come over, you can open it up and you can kind of show them this space that you've done. And that's kind of cool when it's detached, because then they're like walking through the house and then you're like, you take them out back. And then here's this, like, what are we doing? Like, what is this? And then it's like, oh, cool. This is awesome.
And you could personalize it much more.
And then you're open.
That's definitely something that I did want to, and thank you for bringing that up, because that's definitely something that I did want to touch on too, is, you know, as we talk about building a smoking room in your home, definitely check on your permits and all of that before you do it, because, you know, as much as it will ruin the resale value of your home to smoke in your home, it is such a headache from the real estate side. If you have something and you build something in your home that is not up to code, that is not, you will get dinged on it and you will have to spend to change it. So it's one of those things where it's do it right the first time. You know, don't just do it to do it and then deal with it later.
Yeah, you want to spend the money, because at the end of the day, you know, if I'm building a hermetically sealed smoker's lounge in my house, right? I mean, I would argue that spending $60,000 on something like that would save me $60,000 on the resale value of the house.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to break even. Because if you don't, and let's say you only spend $8,000 on some, you know, you just kind of jerry-rig some stuff together, you're going to lose $60,000, $70,000 on the resale value of the house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there's a way to go about it, and Scott touched on it. Like, you do it right. Spend the money.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, let's say it is a, you know, cigar lounge or whatnot, but then you go to sell the house and you can't tell that it's been a smoker's lounge, but it is a unique space in that home. When it comes to buyers looking at different houses, especially in newer communities, we're always realizing, all right, every new community's got 5 floor plans, and every floor plan is the exact same, minus the accent wall and this option here, this bigger kitchen island here. So in order to stand out, if you've got a unique room that was utilized in one sense as a smoker's lounge, and you spent the money to make sure that it was cleaned and purified and there was circulation, so on and so forth, but now you can market that as something separate.
Yep.
Now that actually adds value to the house. If you do it right the first time.
I can only imagine. You know what I'm saying? I know what my uncle, like I said, my uncle owns a part owner of a cigar lounge in New Jersey. And I know for a fact that if he was the kind of person that he is very much, if I could buy it without building it, I'll do it.
Right.
And so if you do it properly, that could creating, because again, we talk about home sales all the time being so emotionally driven, right?
Yes.
And it's so hard because it's such an emotionally, a large purchase that's driven by emotion. But if you have somebody who loves cigars, that it's part of their personality, part of their lifestyle, and they're able to just come in and you could say, hey, here's all the proper permits. And just to show you that everything is sealed, everything is ventilated, it's purified, you can just move in and start smoking tomorrow. The value that that would add to that certain buyer is unmatched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you hit that right. I mean, it's seriously, it's like, you know how much money I would have paid?
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking at my house, if somebody would have showed me a house that had a properly done cigar room.
Yep.
Holy crap. Yep. Well, I mean, seriously, just shut up and take my money.
And on the flip side of that, if you go the shed route and you do something that's a separate structure, it gives you the flexibility where you don't have to put that kind of money in to make sure you can resell the house.
Exactly.
You can pick up and take the shed with you.
Well, just
include it in the exclusions.
Or it's also one of those deals where it's like you leave the shed and they can use the shed for whatever the heck they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that can just be a shed for them, or they can turn it into whatever they like as well. And you can do that cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the most part, you can do that cheaper than what you can do. That's where it's like when we started that, I was like, okay, so building a cigar lounge in your house, first step, don't.
Don't. Which is fair, right?
There's so many other options, you know, detached options that are so much better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen guys go as simple as they'll buy the insulated ice shanties for their patios. Their patios, and they'll put it up on their patio so that's big enough that three or four guys can sit in there, and they just run an extension cord and a little space heater out there, and it keeps it nice and warm, and they've got the little ventilation flaps on it, and that's where they smoke in the winter, and it works great for them, and they've created that space. I was like, the big thing is don't just smoke in your house.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't just do that, because, I mean, seriously, the amount of headache you're going to have and the ding on your real estate.
Unless you're planning on dying in your home.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, to where it's like, well, where it's a rigid.
Even then, you're going to leave it to the problem to your kids.
True.
Yeah, kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
Be like, hi, sorry, guys. I enjoyed my time. You enjoy dealing
you
with this.
You can figure this out.
Good luck. Good luck. Now, I mean, what an episode. This is so informational, so good. And I know you said, you know, this is your soapbox, but this is exactly why I wanted to bring you on and have this topic. And, like, guys, I can't tell you, from when we met at the event, we started talking. I was like, I want to have you on. And I
you told me that night.
That yeah.
Yeah.
And I that racked my brain because I'm sitting. I was like, how do we relate it? How can we do this? How can we do this? And I was driving one day and I was like, bing, literally picked up the phone and called you.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you told me, I was like, oh, yeah, I can ramble on this forever. I mean, this is something I've seen it done so well and I've seen it done so poorly all in the same go. So it's, you know,
amazing. It's amazing. Well, and guys, see, that's the thing, too, is in, you know, we talk about it on the real estate side all the time, how important it is to have a specialist in that to help you. You know, that's why realtors are realtors. That's where we help people buy and sell homes. But here's something that, and this is coming from the content creator kind of space, is, guys, we live in a time where information is so readily available and you have access to experts that have been doing this for over a decade right here, that you can literally go on their channel. And if they don't already have something that you can just sit down and watch for an hour, guess what? You can send them a private message. You can send an email and contact them. And if you guys can't tell, he loves talking about it.
Yes. You know? I'm passionate. Let's put it that way.
Right. And it's just so good now to you literally have a world of information in your pocket. Please utilize it because it can save you $60,000 at the end of the day. Or it can give you an example. Like, I never would have thought of, let me just put a tarp up with a space heater, get some step. And now I have an outdoor smoking area, and it's so true. And so I really want to pinpoint this. And this is why we're trying to highlight so many businesses, so many specialists in the area, is because it's available to you. So please utilize it for sure. For sure.
All right. So before, I know you're about to go into the One Rock Takeaway, but before, I do want to give Scott an opportunity to talk about Trinity Cigar.
Yes.
And the Mobile Cigar Lounge.
Ah.
So just to recap. This gentleman runs a mobile cigar lounge. And when I say mobile cigar lounge, think like a pop-up book that folds into something just incredible. Fucking awesome.
It is legitimately incredible.
Yeah. I always call it my little cigar transformer.
Yes. So, Scott, I just want you to kind of just talk through what it is. I mean, how much it costs, what it entails, how people can book you. I want you to just take a minute to just tell the world about this, I mean, this phenomenal thing that I didn't know existed until a month ago.
And I just want to add to that because it's, like I said, I've been smoking for a while now and I'm always looking for opportunities on how can I smoke during the winter? How can I make this more of a community-driven thing? And when I walked up and he said, Chris said, we're going to have a cigar lounge here. I was like, oh, cool. It's going to be a tent with some stuff. 'Cause that's normally what you see. Guys, when I tell you, it is a full, everything that we talked about today, literally everything we talked about, he pulls up, drops down the sides, pulls out full leather furniture, couches, wherever you want it to be, couches with a TV that's playing sports. It blew my mind so much so that I called my uncle immediately. And I was like, have you ever seen anything like this? Do you have anybody that can invest in this? Because I'll do this tomorrow.
Right.
Like it blew my mind. So please, please, please give us the information.
All right. So, well, thank you guys. I appreciate that. But yes, I am Trinity Cigar Company, Mobile Cigar Lounge. So basically the concept started out as I wanted to do a cigar bar was what I wanted to do. And I found out in Colorado that the dual license is almost impossible to get a hold of anymore.
Yep.
You almost have to buy somebody's license out to even be able to start something like that. And I looked and I wanted to pivot and I was like, I want to be able to have a cigar and I want to be able to have a drink and I want to be able to sit down and enjoy myself. And I'm looking through and I came across a mobile cigar lounge that was an Airstream trailer that they had converted into a mobile cigar lounge. So I reached out to that gentleman. And basically from that concept, he told me about the ins and outs and the good and the bad and kind of what he does. And I really loved the thought and the idea, but I hated the fact that the Airstream trailer was so closed off.
Sure.
It was, you know, I get where he was. He was based out of South Carolina and it's hot. It's coastal. It's very, you know, buggy.
Humid.
So you want to be able to get out of the weather
to
be able to enjoy a cigar. Whereas here in Colorado, even in the wintertime, for the most part, sure, this morning it was cold. It was really brisk.
As I say,
but now it's 15 sunny.
God handpicked this state.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, most of the time, you're comfortable outside, yep, even with a jacket or whatever. Oh, so yeah. I designed this trailer out. It's a 24 foot, started out as a car hauler trailer. I designed it out with ATC trailers so that basically the whole side of the trailer folds down and turns into a giant patio space, and with railing around it, as well as the rear of the trailer folds down into a patio space with a walk-up ramp that comes in. So you've got about 350 square feet of space inside when it's fully open. 70-inch 4K television with satellite, mm-hmm, so that way I can get pretty much anything that you want to watch on there. Internal and external speakers, so that way it's there. I retail about 30 different premium cigar lines, including three of my own house blends, four right now because I've got my holiday edition that I just drop that I do annually.
Which, but, as I'm sorry to cut in, but guys, when you have somebody who has a passion around cigars and they put the effort into making their own blend, I got one from them when we were there, and let me tell you, it would, the how smooth it was, the just the overall, like a lot of cigars that you get, they coat your mouth, yep, and it's just like this stale. But it was tasty. It was so good. And that's one of the big benefits. And really something that I want to highlight about it is you're not just going and he's not just going to hand you Romeo and Juliet. He's not just going to hand you Monte Cristo's because that's what people know. He's going to take the time and he's going to tell you like, this is why I did this blend. This is what this is supposed to represent. And it's an experience that, again, just... phenomenal.
It's very unique.
Yes,
it's
phenomenal. It's sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine. I'll take the props all day. Right? So, but no, so we do everything from private rentals where I've done events for football, where there's been five or six friends that came together and they wanted to watch the game and smoke cigars. The wife didn't want them in the house or in the garage for the cigar smoke. So they booked my mobile cigar lounge. I came out to the house, set up the whole lounge, put on the game, just hung out with six guys. We smoked cigars, watched the football game, had a great time. I've done everything up to giant Harley Davidson rallies and everything in between. You name it, weddings, golf outings, all the, all the things.
So basically, if you can fit the trailer, you'll
be there.
Yeah,
if I can fit the trailer in the space and it's allowed, because there are a few spots in Colorado that I am not allowed to set up. So please contact me if you're interested in booking to make sure that it is approved and okay in your area.
Do you ever leave the state?
I do not. I'm currently only licensed for the state of Colorado. We're looking at getting more federally licensed so I can travel throughout. But that is an extra set of hoops I'm just not really ready to jump through yet.
And you get enough business here.
Reason I bring it up is because, again, it's when you have somebody who's passionate about it, it's not just about them. And when we were talking off camera earlier, you said that you're actually part of a collective.
Cigar Mobile Lounge Association.
Right.
It all started through Facebook, where a few of us got together, and it's like we wanted to be able to kind of pool our resources per se. Our information more than anything, because it is such a new and kind of just getting tapped concept.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very niche. So it's one of those where we wanted to come together and, be able to share that ideas. Those of us that have been doing it for a few years can kind of share some of the stuff that we've had and problems that we've had and also successes that we've had. So people can maybe the next, line that's coming down can maybe skip a couple of those things and just kind of get into the better
stuff. And
that's
why I bring it up, because looking at our demographics and guys, listeners, viewers, thank you so much. Honestly, when I pull up the performance map on YouTube, and as well as you can see where people are watching from. I thought it was going to be a big red bubble just in Colorado and Denver. We got people in New Mexico. We got people in California, Seattle, Washington, New York, North Carolina, all around. So the reason I bring it up is because, again, reach out.
Yeah.
Because if you're in California and you want to do something like this, he can reference you to somebody that's there that you can do the work with and keep up with Trinity Cigars, because again, if once he gets that federal license, I'm sure he'd be happy to come out and help you.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, so our base rentals start, our 3-hour rentals start at $700. Cigars are a la carte on top of that. But we also do have packages where we can do cigars included. We have packages that we can do, custom banding for events. Okay. So we've done that for weddings, golf outings, things like that. A ton of distilleries out here in Colorado, we do that for that. We do a lot of cigar and whiskey pairing events.
What is your, so if somebody does come in, they rent it, as far as the price per cigar, what are you guys charging?
I always say our average is about $10 per cigar.
Okay.
We range from about $6.75 to about $18 per cigar is about what our market is where I try to keep that.
Well, again, here's this, and the reason I'm asking is because if I go to, I don't know, let's just call it Davidson's Liquors, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have cigars. Or Bubbles over here in Castle Rock, where I'm from. I can go to the humidor and I can pick out a cigar for, you know, 10, 12 bucks, whatever it is. And I would be relying on my own personal knowledge and experience. The reason I want to highlight this is because for that same price, you get somebody, number one, who is hand rolling their own cigars.
Well, now I have to caveat. I don't roll my own cigars.
Okay.
I have them rolled.
Got it.
I leave that to the real professionals.
But yes.
But you get the experience for that same amount that you would buy, you know, you'd find at a liquor store, and you can talk to Scott. He can walk you through all of the different, you know what I mean?
And not like, to mention, they're properly kept. And that's something
I would say it's priceless, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a priceless experience if you can sit there and spend $10 on a cigar and have an aficionado come through and actually explain the blend and why and what it pairs with and get the experience on top of just smoking the cigar itself for the same price that you would get if you just picked out something at your local liquor store.
Yep. Well, and the nice thing is anytime you come to one of my events or if you book me, then it gives you that base knowledge that we talked about that's so important. You know, that people have when they go in. So that way, when they walk into a cigar lounge, they can say, you know what, I had, you know, the Oliva V. Milano Maduro at Trinity Cigar Co.'s Mobile Cigar Lounge. I really love that cigar. What can you recommend that is similar to that?
Exactly.
And that's how you build.
Gives you that foundation.
That's how you, it gives you that foundation. So that way you walk in with a little bit of knowledge, you know, so that way you know. It's the same way with like a good whiskey lounge. Having a little bit of knowledge, it just helps open up that door.
It elevates the experience to a degree that that you will not understand.
Can't touch it.
Until you actually do it for yourself. That's how I see it.
Yeah, it's one of those where I tell everybody, I was like, you know, Jim Beam is technically bourbon, but you don't know that it's not bourbon until you've actually had really good bourbon.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the difference.
I got it.
Yeah,
I got
it's that thing. It's that light bulb moment.
Exactly. All right. So as you guys know, at the end of every episode, what we like to do is something called a One Rock Takeaway. And our One Rock Takeaway is basically a concise summarization from each one of us about the topic of the episode. So basically they can just kind of think about it as like a one punch for everything. So do you want to take it? Go for it.
So the episode was, we kind of went through a couple different things, but the overarching theme was building that oasis for smokers. And my One Rock takeaway is it's like a measure twice to cut once. If you're gonna do it right. If it's expensive, do it right, because it will affect not only the experience while you're actually living in the home, but then on top of that, the experience of when you're trying to sell the house. So if it comes off as, oh man, this is a lot of money, just remember the money in is going to equal the money you get out, so do it right the first time.
I like it. All right, I'll take it. I'll leave the specialist for last. My One Rock takeaway for today's episode is just, I said it earlier, but there are specialists in everything. And as somebody who loves bourbon, loves cigars, loves doing the video production, the podcast with the real estate, any question that you have, we are blessed that you can get access to somebody who has the information that you need and that you can trust with proof to get that information from. So just One Rock takeaway from today's episode. If you are starting the adventure of either trying cigars, getting into cigars, or wanting to build out your own cigar lounge in your home, take the time and do your research, because it can save you thousands of dollars doing it right and talking to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have pretty much nailed it on this end for everything that I had. I mean, the whole big takeaway for me from this is, I mean, you nailed it. Don't phone it in. Put in the time, put in the effort. If you love cigars and you're passionate about cigars and you're passionate about smoking like that, and you have the want and the desire to build these rooms or build this in your house, then you need to take and you need to put that passion and that desire into it, doing it correctly. Because, resale value of your house, enjoyable experience for you and your guests while you own it. And, I mean, just damage to your home in general. I mean, if you do not do this correctly, you can damage your HVAC system. You can damage your walls. You can damage your flooring. I mean, you can make the entire house stink.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and stink in a way that you just can't get it out. So if you're passionate about it and you're passionate enough to build this, then you need to be passionate enough to do it correctly. And if it's something that's outside of your price range, then look for other options. I mean, outdoor spaces like that, creating an outdoor smoking space, creating that he shed, space, that's something that you can really do. And you can do for fairly reasonably in this day and age, of course, like I said, check your regulations. Don't just do it, because that could cost you so much more in the long run.
And
so,
even not even just money, but headache, like emotions.
Yes, nobody wants to deal with the city or the HOA, and nobody wants to deal with that. You want to smoke cigars and have a good drink. You don't want to deal with these people. That's the whole point of creating these oases.
And I know we did a lot of cigar talking today, and I'm sitting here itching, like I want to have a cigar with the bourbon, but as you all know, we don't just talk real estate. We give you guys honest opinions about bourbons, and we review our bourbons. So let's move into the bourbon review for today's episode. And again, on today's episode, we are drinking Old Elk Cigar Cut. And this bottle specifically is made in rum sherry casks, 6 year aged. And it's made specifically to be a cigar bourbon. And on that note, I'm going to say just straight up, that's exactly what this is.
Oh yeah,
for me, for sure. is a cigar bourbon in a way where, if Oscar was here, I would say that Oscar would shy away from this.
Yes,
because it's not a traditional bourbon. It's not gonna give you that real heavy burn.
No, it's a niche bourbon.
Yes, but
yeah, absolutely a niche bourbon
for how it was made. It is perfect.
Yes,
and I think that this would pair well. So well with almost any cigar. Maybe a lighter wrap might not be the best because of the sweetness.
On the Connecticut's, this is going to overpower it a little bit.
Yes.
So you want to match body at least.
Yes. Yeah.
So I would say start with a medium bodied cigar, and build from there. Medium to full bodied cigar is going to hold up, but the cigar is going to lead the dance on that one. So,
yes, I agree.
But yeah, it works.
It's funny because I was actually going to sit there and be like, all right, so give me, and sorry to cut you off, JMO, but
it's okay.
In your expertise, can you name me three cigars that you would personally recommend to smoke while sipping this one?
Goodness, yes. So right off the bat, it's one I carry in the lounge. It's the Oliva V Milano Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
Those dark chocolatey notes and espresso notes are going to come through, and they're going to shine with those nice stone fruit, honey, and vanilla notes. It's going to be a beautiful balance. The Oliva is going to lead the dance just a little bit, as I said.
I love Oliva.
Because it is a nice medium to full-bodied stick, but it's not an overpowering stick. It's not a spicy stick overall, so it's not going to do that. It's not going to hit your palate and make it harsh. It's going to be this very warm, very inviting pairing on that. The next one I would do would be the Drew Estates Undercrown Maduro. That one is dark chocolate, just a little touch of coffee, black pepper on that cigar. That one, it's going to have the cigar is going to take a little bit of a back seat. That is more medium plus bodied in that one, where that one is, you're going to have these sweet notes and these warming notes on the whiskey itself, especially that rum and sherry finish that you can really pull through on the taste.
That's
going to sweeten up that cigar. That cigar is a little darker, a little earthier on that profile. So it's going to sweeten that up. It's going to really give you this nice little balance and blend. And then for a really nice change up, if you want something that's going to be lighter wrapped, but still going to have really good flavor, the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, the Sobre Mesa Brulee, it's their Connecticut shade wrapped cigar. That one is going to give you these nice, sweet, nutty, grassy notes that are going to come through that are going to actually just really bring that sweetness of that whiskey to the forward. It's going to be a very contrasting pairing, but it's still going to be in that medium plus body range, even for a Connecticut cigar. So it's going to give you that option and that change in experience where it's not just dark on dark, stone fruit on chocolate,
right,
coffee on black pepper. It's going to bring out these lighter, sweeter reader notes as well. So,
so if you guys can't tell, there's a reason why we brought him on the podcast today.
I geek out. What can I say?
No, I love it. I love it. And that, facts. But again, guys, imagine sitting at the, sitting in a cigar lounge, sipping on a bourbon, and him going, "Oh, this is why," and then talking exactly like that. Like that's the experience that I got.
Yep.
And it blew me away. And so, how we normally do our what our bourbon review is, we do what's called a rock rating. So we do it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the best, 10 being the worst, because the more rocks you put in a bourbon, the more ice you put in a bourbon, usually the worse it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have not had that the unicorn yet. We have not gotten one. I think 2 is the lowest that we've gotten. Now, again...
No, we had a 1.5.
What was the 1.5?
It was... it was a tie because there was the Elijah Craig Private Barrel Select.
Okay.
Okay. Then, solid. Solid.
Dude, we were like at a 2 just underneath on the Balcon Catalejo.
Catalejo. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it's just like 1 is the 8. Holy Grail.
Yeah, 1.8 okay. I think was the lowest that we got.
Yeah, yeah. Is a Holy Grail. Now, I will say that, and again, you can rate this your experience. You can rate this on any scale that you want. But again, we tend to stay more leaning towards like if this was a traditional bourbon drinker drinking the bourbon, how would they rate it? I'll go ahead and start with it. If you're sitting with a cigar, if you're sitting with great conversation, good people in a cigar, then this would get a phenomenally high rating for me. I would put it 2.5 because it would complement and pair so well with so many cigars. If you were to sit down and just drink this on its own, I do think that the rum and the sherry add too much of a sweetness to it, not so much of an evolution overall. Like when now that I'm sitting here, you know, as you guys all know, my glass stays open. I do one pour. The sweetness with this as it opens comes way too heavy, way too pushed through for me, just for a standard bourbon. So I think I'm going to sit at about a 4.2 on this one. Don't get me wrong. I love the proof. I love the burn. But again, as somebody who has a sweeter palate with bourbon, I think that this is too sweet. And I almost have it almost feels like a sugar film in my mouth from it.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to sit right around a 4.2.
All right.
Who wants to take it?
I mean, I'll take it. It's hard because I feel like you can't rate this not as a pairing with a cigar.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair, I guess. Well, right? But the reason I say I don't think it's fair is because, so me personally, I have not seen this on the shelf at any liquor store I've gone bourbon hunting at ever.
Okay.
But I think that's on purpose because it's not a mainstream, hey, let's put this on the shelf and see if people like it. Because number one, the normal person's going to say cigar cut. I don't like cigars. I'm not going to buy it. Okay. First off, right? It's a very niche bourbon. I agree with you. I think if I'm sitting there smoking a really good cigar, any of the three that Scott just generously described to us, I'm probably at about a 2.5 also.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to rate it outside of that, only because like nobody listening is going to go find this bourbon for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Give it to you. It's just hard because I've been to thousands of liquor stores. I've never once seen, outside of their distillery, Old Elk Cigar Cut. So it'd be hard for me to say, oh, it's a 4.5. So if you guys see it, is it worth the money? I don't think you should drink this without pairing it with a cigar.
I like that. I'll take
so
that.
So with a cigar, I'm saying 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. So, okay. I'm a little bit tough on that because I liked where you were going with this. There is a cloying sweetness to this on its own without a cigar that is dominating the profile for me. Mm-hmm. It is one that I like sweet bourbons. Yep. I really do. Mm-hmm. It is something that I strive for. I'm not into that big oaky heavy. I know it's sacrilege for a lot of people, but I think Pappy 23 is absolutely awful. I really don't think it's for me. Yeah, I was like anything past a Pappy 15, I think is just too oaky. It's too heavy. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those where I do like the lighter, the sweeter ends. I love the proof on this because in my mind, whiskey doesn't get interesting till it's over 100 proof.
You've
got to get, you know, other than that. I mean, yes, there are exceptions to everything. But so getting back to it, with a cigar, I would definitely put this at probably a good solid like 4 rock for me. Okay. On its own, I'd probably go more like a 5, 5.2 rock.
for that, just because it is just so heavy on that barrel sweetness, on that cask finish sweetness, that it's almost becoming the dominant profile now that I'm finishing this glass, that it's just what lingers on my palate, and I want more of those bourbon notes. I want less of those rum, sherry, port cask
and
notes, and I'm getting too much of that.
Yes. Yeah, and I agree. Well, so two things. Number one, I think I'm getting, like, again, 60% of that, and I think my palate's actually muting the sweetness.
Yeah, because I think, honestly,
you know
I think
what I mean? To me,
I honestly think, because I'm not trying to be mean, but you remember the Breckenridge rum,
yes,
rum barrel? You remember how we were like, this is like fake syrup?
Yeah, see, and I'm not tasting anything.
That's,
but
I think it's because of my tongue and like the top of my throat.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, top of your palate is where it's just lingering.
And I agree. I think if you put a couple of rocks in there, just in general, it'll open it up a little bit more. It'll mute that sweetness to the point.
Yes.
I'm my palate, right? I'm a sweet bourbon guy. I don't taste sweetness.
Yeah,
this,
okay, but I think it's definitely the sickness.
Yes, it's definitely.
Because I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, I want to be on the same page. I feel like I'm reading a different book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I came very unprepared to class. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, wait, what chapter are we on?
For me, this is a very dessert whiskey.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
It's a very dessert whiskey. And honestly, with a really good cigar, this would be delicious.
Which is, that's the purpose, right?
Yes. And that would be very delicious, because that sweetness would really balance most of those evening cigars that you're going to have that are usually darker, usually heavier, you know.
But I absolutely see why this is not widely distributed.
Yeah.
Because it is so niche.
I love what they did with it, though.
Yes, I love the idea.
Yeah,
I think
it serves the purpose that they bottled
it
for.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. It fits. It's 100%. Not a knock to the bourbon itself.
No.
It's a very good
bourbon. No, I think it's when you, it's like, I don't know.
Like I said, we're almost at 80.
Here, this is kind of how I would compare it to. Like, people that drive or buy Porsches, like, you either love or you hate it. Like, there's not an in-between. Like, oh, I think I'm just going to buy a 911 because. Like, there's people I talk to that absolutely cannot stand, will never buy a Porsche.
Yeah.
People that will only buy Porsches because of things that only people that love Porsches would appreciate. Mm-hmm. I think this is on that same vein. Like, they knew, hey, we're going to make a cigar cut. It's going to be for those individuals that are pairing it with a nice medium to heavy body cigar.
Yep.
But to your point, if it's a lighter cigar, it's going to come off very, very different. They're going to play off of each other very differently. So I get it. Like, unapologetically, they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
To the wide, you know, array of, like, a beginner bourbon drinker, I wouldn't give this to.
No.
Right?
No, it would set a false expectation.
Great example of traditional bourbon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a very unique take on bourbon, and I think you get it. Yeah, it's
perfect for
to
what
be,
it is.
Yeah, it's kind of the greater than the sum of its parts type situation.
Yeah, this is one you have on the shelf, and you only bring out when you've got somebody like Scott coming by with some cigars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you go, all right, dude, here's what we got. Let's
have some fun. Absolutely. It's time to break that out.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for coming, Scott.
Of course. This
added
has been
so
fun.
Much value, so much information to the viewers, to listeners. It's been such a great conversation. I've learned so much that I'm going to take away from it.
Yep.
Now, what I'd love to do is please let the people know, where can they find you, how can they contact you, and give us all of it.
All right, for sure. So I am at trinitycigarco.com on my website. Email is trinitycigarco@gmail.com. You can also contact me through my Instagram and Facebook pages at Trinity Cigar Co. Right now we are kind of slowing down for the winter season, so public events are getting a little thin. We've got a few coming up to finish out the year with Distillery 291 down in Colorado Springs.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had that
yet. As well as Odyssey Beer Works. So please follow me on my social media pages. If you're interested in booking, we are booking for the 2025 season right now. So you can reach out to me. We can get everything on the dates. I know weekends fill up quick. So if there's something you're interested in booking, whether that be private, business, wedding, however, please reach out. Let's get you on the books, get you taken care of. So that way you guys can have a lot of fun and enjoy some great cigars with me.
Sweet. I love it. And I know Trinity Cigars is your main point, but you also have a phenomenal channel.
Ah, yes. So, right? Yes, I'm also a contributor with Cigar Dojo. We do two shows a week live on Facebook, YouTube, and X, which I can never get used to saying that.
Yeah.
Twitter. But it's one of those where we do those Wednesday and Friday. Our Wednesday show is Flavor Odyssey. So it is a cigar and drink pairing show. So, for instance, this week we're going to be using Aganorsa Leaf brand cigars and picking our best drink pairing with that. We've done shows with numerous people throughout the industry. We do things like that. We also do some fun wild card pairing shows where we do like Halloween drink mm-hmm. specials and cigar drink specials, you know, things like that. And then our Friday night show is our Smoke Night Live, which is Friday evening, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So that one is industry talk. We do everything from celebrities in the industry on, people. We've had the Bourbon Junkies on the show before doing bourbon pairing with cigars for that show. We also get silly some nights. We do different bracket challenges where we do the you know, picks for the best chocolate bar. We've done breakfast cereals, things like that. So we have a lot of fun with that. So, you know, check us out, CigarDojo.com, as well as on Spotify at Cigar Dojo. We also have our own platform for, basically it's kind of like Facebook meets Untappd for cigars. It's called Dojoverse.com. That's where everybody meets up. You can check into your favorite cigars, rate them thumbs up, thumbs down. Tons of communities. There's whiskey communities, tequila communities, different cigar brand communities, military service communities. We all have them. Different groups that get together.
I'll be getting
so it's
that.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, awesome. So,
and as always, guys, we do with all of our guests on the show, please check the description. We will have all of their handles there. We will have all of their links, website, all of that contact information. So check the description. You'll be able to find out, book with Trinity Cigars to have them come out to your event, whether that's sitting in your driveway with a bunch of your friends watching a game or supplying a wedding venue with a phenomenal experience for your guests. He can be there to help you, and you can find all that information in the description. But you can find us at our own individual social media pages. You can find me for video production at beatthejeansproductions.com or beatthejeansproductions. Also, that lifting agent around the real estate. Going to kind of blend the two here soon, so just keep an eye out for that.
You keep saying that.
I'm working on it. Oscar, you can find him at OscarTheRealtor.com or Oscar the Realtor, Oscar Ibarra on Facebook. Jameson?
The Colorado Real Estate Guy, otherwise Jameson Amoros on Facebook, but the Colorado Real Estate Guy on everything else.
Awesome. And if you guys want to get in touch with us, if you can't find the contact information or if you want us to help you get in touch with vendors like Scott and other HVAC techs, other specialists that we've had on the show, please feel free to reach out to us. You can always send us an email 24/7, RESOTR at themilehighperspective.com, or shoot us a text or give us a phone call.
720-584-3361.
And we are going to take next week off just for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, because we all got families and we want to, you know, relax a little bit. We love having you guys and being here with you, but we want to take a little bit of relax time. We've been doing some amazing work over the last couple months with all the guests and stuff. So thank you, as always, for the support.
Yep.
Scott, thank you for coming out and giving us your expertise.
Always a pleasure.
I hope I can get some credibility in the space and maybe attend one of your shoots on the channel someday. But on that note, guys, cheers. Thank you so much for watching. We'll catch you all later.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Real Estate Served on the Rocks. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and really anywhere else you listen to podcasts. To see the video version, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Living in Colorado, The Mile High Perspective. And to stay up to date with all the events happening at the Rouge Wine and Bourbon Bistro, visit their website, therougewinebar.com.